Today's daf is Chulin Daf Chof Gimel, and we are 7 lines from the bottom of Daf Chof Gimel Amid Aleph. So the topic has been Shechita, specifically Shechitas Chulin. Stating that, the Gemara digressed, and the Gemara went from discussing Shechitas Chulin to Malikas Ha'oif. Malika was very similar to Shechita. Anytime a carbon was brought in the form of an oif, a chatas oif, or an oilas oif, rather than doing Shechita with the oif, what was done was Malika. And there was a Mishnah and Gemaras that discussed some of the halachas of Malika, specifically comparing and contrasting Shechitas oif chulin versus Malikas oif kacha. Once the Mishnah mentioned Malika, the Mishnah digressed and discussed the birds that are kosher to be brought as an oif in the Beis HaMikdash, specifically Toirim or Bnei Yoina. And the Mishnah mentioned kosher b'toirim, pasul b'bnei Yoina, kosher b'bnei Yoina, pasul b'toirim. Then the Gemara discussed, so what exactly are those shiurim? Meaning, when does a bird become kosher to be brought as a tar? When does a bird become kosher to be brought as a ben yoina? And then the Mishnah and the Gemara discussed an in-between stage, what's called tchilas hatziyuv. And the Gemara wasn't sure if that shiur of tchilas hatziyuv, which seems to be some in-between stage as far as the maturation of the bird goes, is it a shiur that we're just not sure about, or is a beria b'fnei atzmai? Regardless, along the theme of the digression of the Gemara, Reb Zeir is going to ask another shaila, which has nothing to do with Masechtas Chulin, but it jives with the digression of the Gemara. Boy, Reb Zeir, ha'omer harei olai oilas behema. If somebody says he's going to bring a carbon oila as an adavo, it's going to be a behema, and then he got specific. He said min ha'ayil oy min ha'keves. He wants it to be either from an aisle or from a keves. Now, a sheep, the first 12 months of its life, a male sheep that is called a keves. The first month of the second year of its life, meaning the 13th month of its life, it's what's known as a palgas. After that, it gets known as an aisle. Now, this person said he's going to bring it min ha'aisle or min ha'keves. So keves would mean that it's 0 to 12 months. Ayo would mean it's 13 months forward. What he didn't mention was palgas. Says Reb Zeira, what would happen if this person was heavy with palgas? Say he brought a palgas. Was he yoitza or was he not yoitza? He said keves or ayo. He didn't say palgas. So at first glance, you would think he can't fulfill his nether by bringing a palgas. Says the Gemara like this. Reb Zeira explained, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, I have no shaila. The Amar who holds Ber Yehava. He's of the opinion that a palgas is not a suffix. This in-between stage, whether it's a keves or an aisle, but rather it's a separate stage. There's a stage called palgas. How do I know that? At the time we learned in the Mishnah, krivu, maybe all of niske aisle. If somebody brings a palgas as a oilas nadava, so he has to bring nesachim together with his behema. How much nesachim does he bring? So he brings the same nesachim that you would bring if you were bringing an aisle. So a keves had its share via sahin, the Ayil had its share, which was a shlisha sahin, in the event that he's bringing a palgas, so it's a mishnah, mesachtes paro, so he has to bring the nesachim. How much nesachim does he bring? He brings the nesachim of the ayil. But at the same time, if he said that he was going to bring an ayil, he can't fulfill his neder by bringing this palgas. For Rabbi Yochanan, regardless, Rabbi Yochanan said that, how do you know that the amount of nesachim that he's supposed to bring together with a palgas is the same as the amount of nesachim that you bring when you bring an ayil? He learned it from a pasuk. It says, oilo ayil, and from the word oy, he said, l'rabbi says a palgas. Now, if you have a pasuk that's being marba, the nesachim that you're supposed to bring for a palgas, what do you see from there? That a palgas is not a suffix. It's not pshat. We don't know what a palgas is. Is it really a keves, like an animal is for the first 12 months of its life? Or is it really an aisle, like it's going to be from 13 months forward? Because if it's this suffix, then the Torah doesn't have to talk about sveikas. Like Rashi said on the bottom, on Daf Chav Beis Amid Beis, Umi ikka sveika kami kutcha barich, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a suffix. So why does the Torah have to address a suffix? Elamai, a palgas is not a suffix. What a palgas must be, it's a beria b'fnei atzma. It must be this in-between stage. There's keves, there's palgas, and there's ayil. If that's the case, it's poshet, said Reb Zeira. Ha'oimah rei olai oilas behemah min ayil min ha'keves. He can't bring min a palgas, because a palgas is not an ayil, it's not a keves. What was Reb Zeira's shayla? Ki tiboylach, ha'olim b'dabar palgas. My shayla is according to Bar Palda, who explained that Mishnah a little bit differently. Again, the Mishnah had said that if somebody brings a palgas, he brings the nesachin of an ayil. Rabbi Yochanan said, how do you know that? You know that from a pasuk. But Bar Palda said something else. He said, maisi umasni, that really what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to bring the nesachin of a palgas, and you're supposed to make a tanai. Pasha, what's the Tanai? The Tanai is, I'm not sure if what this Palgus is. If the Palgus is a Keves, so then the Revi'ah Sahin that I have to bring, because I'm bringing a Keves, that should be Kaddish, and whatever's extra should really be Chulin. And if it's an Ayil, then everything should be Kaddish. But so what was Rav Zeira's shayla? Let's mafurish about Pada, right? But Pada's clearly saying that it's a Safek. Otherwise, why are you making a Tanai? But the shayla Rav Zeira had was, what is the nature of the Tanai? Rav Zeira wanted to know what the text of the Tanai is. Mi Amrina, do we say the Tanai is Ba'ayel Bekeves Masna Beberia Loi Masna? That when he makes this Tanai, there's only two stardom that he has to take into consideration. I'm not sure if this is a Keves. I'm not sure if it's an Ayel. Or either more, perhaps there's a third Sa, Beberia Nami Masna. He has to really say three things. I don't know if this is a Keves. If it is, then I want the Revi'ah Sahin to be Kaddish. Anything above that should be Chulin. If it's an Ayil, I want it all to be Kaddish. And oh, maybe it's a Palgus. And if it's a Palgus, I don't have that Oy that Rabbi Yochanan had. The Torah never addressed in a Sachan of a Palgus, which means you don't bring any Nesachan at all. And if you don't bring any Nesachan at all, then the Tanai is going to be that all of it should be Chulin. But regardless, Rabbi Zeira understood in Bar Pada, that Bar Pada learned that it's not a Beria Bifnei Atzmai for sure, because if it's for sure Beria Bifnei Atzmai, then we would know what you're supposed to do with the Nesachim, that you wouldn't be making this Tanai. But he was clearing whether Bar Pada had a tzad that it's a Beria Bifnei Atzmai, or he didn't even have a tzad that it's a Beria Bifnei Atzmai. Meaning Bar Pada, who holds that if somebody brings a Palgus, he has to make Tanayim, because they're not really sure what you're supposed to do with the Nesachim, how many tzadim are we trying to juggle, is according to Bar Pada. Is it maybe it's a Keves, maybe it's an Ayil? Or is it maybe it's a Keves, maybe it's an Ayil? And even a third side, maybe it's a Beria. And for that, Rab Zeira said, Teiku. Either way, by Rab Zeira. Again, me inyan le inyan, but I say inyan. If somebody says he wants to bring lachmi toida as a carpet, and he says that I wanted to bring either min hachametz or min amatzah. So he seems to have covered all the possibilities, right? No, behavi siur. And he brought it in the state of siur. Is he yoitza his obligation of bringing the lachmi toida that he said he was going to bring? Or can he not fulfill his obligation of lachmi toida? So what is siur? So siur is discussed in a Gemara Masechtas Psachim, as you would expect. And it's Machlokes Remei and Rabbi Yehuda, A, what exactly siur is, and B, how you're supposed to treat siur in halacha. So matzah is unleavened bread. You take dough and water, put it in an oven, you're going to get matzah. If you add yeast or some other agent that causes the dough to rise, then what you're going to end up with is chametz. Siur is when dough is in the midst of rising, but this process hasn't been completed. So it's nishtahi nishtaher. It's not matzah because you added yeast, you added something to cause the dough to rise, but at the same time, it hasn't fully risen. Thus, lehalacha yesh lachgar. How do you look at dough like this? Do you treat it as matzah or do you treat it as chametz? And it's machlekes Remei Rabbi Yehuda. Remeir says that the way you look at seir is you look at it as chametz. However, whereas chametz ordinarily is chayv karis, kaloicho machmetzes, v'nichr so'an nefesh ahimi Yisrael, if somebody eats seir, he's only going to get malchus. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the way you look at seir as being chametz, but Rabbi Yehuda says there's no karis if somebody eats seir. Additionally, there's no malchus if somebody eats seir as well. So seir is for sure not going to be treated as full-fledged chametz. The question is if somebody eats seir on Pesach, what happens? According to Rabbi Meir, it's a chayv elavin. It's still very, very chomer. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not even that chomer. It's aser, but there's no karis, and there's not even going to be malchus. So Meir takes a much more stringent position as far as what the halach is if somebody eats seir. But there's another machlekes from Meir Rabbi Yehuda, and that is what exactly is seir. Meir says that as soon as the dough changes color, so apparently as dough rises, two things happen. Number one, the color of the dough changes. It takes on a pale color as it starts rising. Number two, it starts developing cracks. And that's considered the process of the dough rising, and that's when we have to start viewing this halacha not as matzah anymore, but now as chametz. According to Rav Meir, as soon as the dough starts changing colors, it's already called seir. According to Rav Yehuda, that would not be seir. In order for it to be called seir, the cracks have to start developing. Another chumrah that Rav Meir has over Rav Yehuda. So, according to Rav Meir, as soon as the dough changes colors, it's already seir. That's chumrah number one. It's a very early stage when we look at it as seir. Chumrah number two, if you eat seir, you get malchus. According to Rav Yehuda, it doesn't become seir until it starts developing cracks. That's a kula. And number two, the second kula is, even if somebody eats seir, he's not going to get malchus. So again, Rav Zeira declared a shayla. If somebody said, a re'alei lachmi toida min hachametz oy min amatzah, and he brought seer. Is he yoitza or is he not yoitza? So the Gemara says, let's see. Seer the man. Who are we going according to? Is seer the Rab Meir, the Rabbi Yehuda? Do we mean what Rab Meir calls seer? And we're declaring the Shaila, leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. What did Rab Meir call seer? As soon as the dough changes colors. What does Rabbi Yehuda hold about such seer? It's matzah. Rabbi Yehuda holds it doesn't become seer until it starts developing cracks. It's matzah ma'al yaseir. It's regular matzah. Either Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Meir, do we mean what Rabbi Yehuda called seer and we're clearing the shayla according to Rabbi Meir? What's Rabbi Yehuda seer? It started developing cracks. What does Rabbi Meir hold seer is? As soon as it changes colors. According to Rabbi Meir, if it develops cracks, it's regular chametz. Then chametz, then it's regular chametz. And then Rabbi Zeir has no shayla. V'either Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Meir, elamai, maybe we mean Rabbi Meir seer according to Rabbi Meir. Rav Meir's seer is when it changes colors. What's the halacha according to Rav Meir by such seer? You get malchus, says the Gemara, but the lucky allow chametz. So if you get malchus for eating it on Pesach, it certainly sounds like it's chametz. So again, what's Rav Zeir's shayla? Elo, says the Gemara, the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda. The shayla was Rabbi Yehuda's seer, which is when it starts developing, according to Rabbi, not according to Rav Meir, according to Rabbi Yehuda, where you don't get malchus. Certainly there's no chorus, but at the same time, you can't eat it on Pesach. Am I? The shayla is, how did Rabbi Yehuda look at this seer? What are the two tzadim? Sveika hava, was Rabbi Yehuda not sure whether seer is chametz or matzah? Thus, Rabbi Yehuda said, you can't eat it. But Rabbi Yehuda also, we're not going to give you malchus, because you can't give malchus to somebody that doesn't have Eirem Yisafik. So if it's a safik, then this person who said, arelei lachme toida min hachametz oy min hamatzah, he could be yaitza by bringing seer. Why? Because v'nafik memanav shach. Because either it's chametz or it's matzah. And his tenai was, either chametz or matzah. Or maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds it's a beryah. It's like a bird that's betchilas atziyum. It's like a palgus. It's a beryah. It's a nishtahin nishtaher. It's not matzah. It's not chametz. If it's not matzah and it's not chametz, for some reason, it's usher to eat on Pesach. There's no malchus, but the bottom line is, if someone says a real lie, lach mi toidim and a chametz and a matzah, you wouldn't be able to be yoitza. Says the Gemara, I don't understand this whole shayla. Meaning, Reb Zeir is shayla, ha'oimah real lie lach mi toidim. And he said, I'm going to bring him in a chametz and a matzah. The question is, could he bring it from seer? And Reb Zeir had this whole shayla. Says the Gemara, this is Menachos 101. How in the world could you do something like this? Said, let's see, somebody says, so what's the halacha? Mevi toida v'lachma. You have to bring a regular carbon toida. No such thing as just bringing lachmi toida. It's not a real carbon. Rabbit Ravuna said it. He said, if somebody says, lachmi toida, you have to bring a regular carbon toida. Now, what's a regular carbon toida? You have to bring a carbon. It's a shlamin. It has its own shulchan aruch, but you bring a carbon shlamin. You bring 40 breads. 30 of the breads are matzah. 10 of the breads are chametz. Once you have to bring a carbon toida, v'lachma, and obviously you have to bring breads together with the toida. Hala yada hay gavri ichametz u'dalaisi matzah, imatz u'dalaisi chametz. So how is this going to play a role practically? If a person says a real lachmi toida, he has to bring a carbon toida. Once you have to bring a carbon toida, you have to bring 40 breads. 30 have to be matzah, 10 have to be chametz. How could you bring seer? You don't know if it's matzah, you don't know if it's chametz. On the tzad it's matzah, you might have too much matzah. If on the tzad it's chametz, you might have too much chametz. You don't know what's going on. At the end of the day, you're going to have to bring what you have to bring. So how is this going to play a practical role? You know, Reb Zeir almost sounded like he was saying, a person who could make a neder, he says, I'm going to bring lachmi, just the breads, and I want it to be either chametz or matzah. So he could customize his lachmi toida offering, and we're going to go along with it? Okay, that's a nice shayla. If he said chametz or matzah, what about this in between? What about there's no such thing. The only way you bring lachmi toida is if you bring a carbon toida. And once you bring a carbon toida, you have to do what you have to do. The Torah tells you what you have to do. You have to bring 40 breads, 30 matzah, 10 chametz. So says the Gemara, where exactly is this going to play itself? The Gemara's like, it's talking about where a person's not bringing his own carbon toida. Reuven has a friend Shimon, and Shimon has to bring a carbon toida. And Reuven says, I'm going to do Shimon a favor. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to bring on his behalf, I'm going to bring lachmi toida for him. Okay, says, how does that change anything? At the end of the day, somebody has to bring a carbon toida, and that person can't be yoitza with the seer. So the Gemara says, you're right. I'm a liftar. What he didn't, he never said that he want. This person never said he's going to use these breads so that his friend shouldn't patter his obligation to bring a carbon toida with it. Rather, he just said that I know my friend is bringing a carbon toida. I'm going to add to his carbon toida in addition to what he has to bring. I'm going to add some breads. And the breads I'm going to add are going to be either mina chametz or mina matzah. That was the shayla. The shayla is, can you add it on or could you not add it on? But you're right. You can't fulfill an obligation of lachmi toida with this seer, because at the end of the day, if you have a chiv to bring a carbon toida, you have to do what the Torah tells you to do. It's 40 breads, 4 different minim, 3 of them are matzah, 10 of them are chametz. There's no way you could be yitza with anything that is a safek. Either way, again, so the theme here is a digression. We have a significant digression between here and the end of the parak. The last Mishnah said, kasha b'toyrim pasal b'bnei yoyna. Kasha b'bnei yoyna pasal b'toyrim. Again, why are we talking about these birds? Because these are the two birds that are kasha to be brought as oifos in the Beis HaMikdash. We're learning chulin, not kachin. But the Mishnah had digressed and compared the halachas of shchitas oif chulin versus malikas oif kachin. But we had this idea. What's kasha to this is possible to that. And what's possible to this is kasha to that. So on that note, says the Mishnah, kasha b'para. Pasul be'egla. Kasha be'egla. Pasul be'para. So para in this Mishnah means para aduma. And egla in this Mishnah means egla arufa. The way that you kill, the way you slaughter the para aduma does not work if you're trying to behead the egla arufa. And the way that the egla arufa was beheaded, that method would not work for the para aduma. And the Brice explains, Son of Rabban, and para b'shchita k'sheira b'arifa p'sul. The Torah says that the para aduma required shchita. In fact, not only did the para aduma require shchita, but the Gemara says the para aduma, the shchita had to be done by a kohen, a lazar v'chuka k'sivba, and even though shchita lava voidehi. So shchita ordinarily is kasha bizarre, but the para aduma, ironically, did the shchita had to be done dafka with. But either way, para b'shchita k'sheira b'arifa p'sula. What if they did an arifa? What if they took the cleaver that was used to behead the egla arufa, and that's the way they killed the para aduma? That's not going to be okay. Egla b'arifa k'sheira b'shchita p'sula. And the egla is just the opposite. The egla, the Torah says, v'arfu. You have to behead. It doesn't use a word, the lashon shchita. Uses a different word. Thus, egla b'arifa k'sheira b'shchita p'sula. Nimsus, what comes out is kasha b'para pasul b'egla, kasha b'egla pasul b'para. Says the Gemara, v'tei para k'sheira b'arifa mikal v'chayim. I don't understand. L'chayim, you should be able to do arifa with the para adumba, kal v'chayim. U'ma egla shle huchshu b'shchita huchshu b'arifa. Madach egla where you can't do shchita, you can do arifa. Para shle huchshu b'shchita. A para where you could do shchita, ain't no din shle huchshu b'arifa. If you could do shchita for the para, certainly you should be able to do arifa. On my crow, the pasuk says v'shachat. It says v'shachat regarding the para aduma, and it says the word chuka. So chuka is one of the magic words that come up a lot in kachin. V'shchita in barifa loy. What does chuka teach me? Ma'akiv. So v'shachat and v'chuka. It has to be that way. There is no option to do it in any way other than shchita. So even though based on the midah, one of the Yudgul will read the Shatar in the Dreshers Pam of Kal V'chaymer, you would say that if you could do Shechita by the Parah Aduma, you could certainly do Arifa with the Parah Aduma. But at the same time, it says V'shachat and it says V'chuka. We learn from there V'shechita and B'arifa like. V'chita G'mara V'chaleichat V'chsib V'chuka Lo'y Dashin at Kal V'chaymer. Is that true? If the word Chuka is so strong, meaning Chuka always means Ma'akev, but it means ma'akev on such a level that it takes away our ability to even darshan a kal v'chaymer. I mean, you can't darshan a kal v'chaymer to add something to what's mefurish in a pasuk. Once it says chuka, can't be. V'gabiyem akipurim d'chsev bechuka. But Yom Kippur, avoidim Yom Kippur, we know everything is ma'akev. And the reason is because it says chuka. V'tanyu into the b'raisa v'aso chatos. Ha'goyrol oysa chatos v'in Hashem oysa chatos. So when the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur took the two seerim, one was going to go l'Hashem, it was going to be brought as a regular chatos pnimit, and the other one was going to go l'azazel. So the pasuk says, what determined which sa'ir went l'Hashem and which sa'ir went l'azazel? The goyrel. Ha'goyrel oysa chatos, ve'in Hashem oysa chatos. She'yochav aloidino. The goyrel says, the braiso, you would think, mikal v'choymer, that if the Kohen Gadol didn't use a goyrel to determine the l'Hashem and the l'azazel, but rather he did it in the conventional method. He said, this one should be Lashem, this one should be Lazazel. You would think it would work. Why? Kal v'chaymer. Umabim, makom shel kiddush ha-goyrel, kiddush Hashem. Throughout Seder Kachim, no such thing as using a goyrel to determine hektish. How do you make something hektish? You say with your mouth that you want this to be hektish. So makom shel kiddush ha-goyrel, in addition shel kiddush Hashem, Talmudim, and that's why the Torah had to write extra words. V'aso chatos, and we learn from there, ha-goyrel oysa chatos, ve'in Hashem oysa chatos. So you see that we need a pasuk to tell me that if the Kohen Gadol wants to determine Lashem, Lazazel, not through Geirel, but rather through Hilchas Nedarim, by simply stating that this should be Lashem and this one should be Lazazel, it's not okay. But you need a pasuk for it. Halav, time of the Kasar Rechman of Asol Chatz. Halav Hachi, but had I not had the pasuk, Darshinon Kal V'chaymer, I would have darshined Kal V'chaymer. What's the kasha? The kasha is that it says chukah by the avodah of Yom Kippur. And if chukah means that whatever it says in the parasha is ma'akev, and I can't even darshan a kal v'chomer to be marred with something more than it says in the pasuk. Because no, if this is what it says, this is the way it's done. Well, I hear it says make a gairo, but I have a kal v'chomer that I don't have to make a gairo. No. It says gairo, it says chukah. Chukah means ma'akev. What do I need a pasuk to tell me that I can't make the lashem and the lazazel with Hilchas Nadarim? It says chukah. Elamai, what do you see from here? That even though it says chukah, but there's still Yud Gimel Midah Shatar in the Drash Hashem. There's still Kavachayim and this Hekish and this Binyanav and this Gzereshav. You still have Yud Gimel Midah. Chukah doesn't take away the ability to darshan Yud Gimel Midah Shatar in the Drash Hashem. If that's the case, as it relates to the chukah that it says by the Avodim Yom Kippur, the same is going to be true by Parah Aduma. So again, Hadra Kushyo Leduchte, Vetehe Parak Sheira Barifa Mi Kavachayim. The Mishnah says, Kasha Bepara, Pasal Be'egla, Kasha Be'egla. Pasul barufa, meaning that you could only do shechita with the paraduma, but you can't kill the paraduma with arifa. L'chayr, why not? Why don't you make a kal v'chomer? If arifa works for the egla arufa, where shechita doesn't work, then certainly the paraduma, which has shechita, should have arifa. So the Gemara says you have to say another reason. Mi'at rachmana gabi egla. In the parash of egla arufa, it says ha arufa with a hey ayidi, and we learn from this zayis barifa ve'nacheres barifa. So it's a limud not in the parash of paraduma, but in the parash of egla arufa. Only that. There's no other animal where you can ever kill with this process of arifa, and it should work okay. Therefore, even though based on the mid of kal v'chomer, you would think that the paraduma should be kosher arifa, but at the end of the day, it's not kosher. Says the Gemara, what about in the reverse? But hey, egla ksher b'shchita mekal v'chomer. The Mishnah also said egla has to be done dafka b'arifa. You can't do it with shchita. L'chura kal v'chomer ma parash l'yuchshu b'arifa ksher b'shchita. Egla shaksher b'arifa ain't it dinshuk huchshu b'shchita. I mean, you have this new mechudish way of killing the egla arufa. So you would think kal v'chomer, the conventional way, should work. You certainly should be able to do shechita with the egla rufa, and it should be kosher on makra. It says va'arfu ha'egla, and we learn from there ba'arifa in b'shechita lai. Being that it says va'arfu ha'egla, we learn no, it has to be done dafka arifa, but not with shechita. Either way, exhale and two, maybe three ha'aras. So the first star. So the last Gemara that we just learned was comparing and contrasting the Parah Aduma and the Egla Arufa. The Mishnah said that the Parah Aduma, the Torah says, needed to be killed via the method of Shechita. It's actually a big Chiddush. It had to be done dafka with the Kohen. And whereas ordinarily, even Shechita in the Beis HaMikdash, Shechita Lav Avoide, Shechita Ksher Bazar, but when it came to the Parah Aduma, you needed Shechita with the Kohen, Elaza V'chuka Ksivba. But regardless, the Parah Aduma needed to be killed, slaughtered, in the conventional method of shechita, whereas the egla arufa, that had to be done not with shechita, but rather that had to be done with arifa. And the Gemara said that based on the mid of kal v'chomer, you would think that the paraduma should be kosher arifa, and the egla arufa should be kosher with shechita. And the Gemara said, you're right, but at the end of the day, this psukim, and the psukim teach me that par is dafka b'shechita, and the egla arufa is dafka b'arifa. What was the pasuk that the Gemara brought that the egla rufa has to be done dafka by arifa, not b'shechita? This was the last line Gemara that we learned. Amakra va'arfu ha'egla ba'arifa in b'shechita lai. What do you see in that pasuk? If you take a look at Rashi, va'arfu ha'egla, zoktei look at Rashi, shina aleo hakosuv la'akif. That really, it's not that pasuk that the Gemara is bringing is the second time it says in the Torah, va'arfu, that you're supposed to do arifa. And we know there's a rule in Kachim, shina kosuv la'akif, that any time the Torah says something twice, it's not just the katchila, it's ma'akif. Now, really, that's a big chiddush, shina kosuv la'akif, because ordinarily, you don't need shina hakosuv to be ma'akif. Right, your person can't say, you know, I know it says in the Torah, you're not allowed to eat whatever, but it only says once. So once, it's like a tchila. It's a very nice thing to do. If you show it to me twice, then I'll have a shina kosov l'akiv. No, usually, if the Torah says something, it's ma'akiv. Unless you have a real reason to assume that the Torah didn't mean at le'ikuvah, of course you assume that it means le'ikuvah. It's dafka by kachim, there's a chiddush, that if it says something once, we assume it's only the katchila. Kachim has its own shulchan aruch. One of the important rules are, shina kosov l'akiv. It comes up over and over and over and over and over again in all the drushes and the limudim of Zvachim and Menachas, that it needs to be, says the Gemara, you want to know how I know Arifa is Ma'akev, because it doesn't just say it once, it says it twice. And the truth is that at first glance, it would therefore seem that the Egla Arufa was Kachem. If the Makar, that Arifa is Ma'akev, because it says it not once, twice. And Rashi Rashi invokes the terminology that's used throughout Seder Kachim of Shina Kasav La'akiv. It certainly sounds like what Rashi is saying is that this is a Kachim Sugya, and I have it twice. Once I have it twice, Talach is, it's going to be Ma'akiv. But the truth is, if you think about it, is that so Pashat? This Egel that was brought during the Egla Arufa process, was it Kachim or was it not Kachim? Now, at first glance, it sounds like it, right? It was brought for Kapara. Kapra Lamchi Yisrael, that was the Nusach that the Zikne Yair used to say. And it was an animal. But really, after further analysis, it's not so clear. Right, what happened? What happened was they found a corpse. Ki Matzi Cholol. And they don't know who killed this person. So the Torah describes a very esoteric, ritualistic kind of process. The Zakenim, the elders that live in the city closest to where this dead body was found, have to go out to a nachal eson. It has to be a place where nothing ever grew, and they have to take a certain type of egel. A calf has to be of a certain age. They go, they recite a text, and they kill this calf. They kill it. How do they kill it? Arifa, using this very, very precise process. And they say that by us doing this, somehow there should be a kapara in the ilamos for this terrible avera of shvichas damim that took place. Now, this did not happen in the Beis HaMikdash. There's no mention anywhere of this going down as a kachim de gahalacha. So if that's the case, at first glance, you could certainly argue that maybe what's going on over here is not really kachim at all. It sounds like kachim. I mean, from a distance, from a 20,000-foot view, it seems like a kachim de gaparsha. But when you start going through the details, what's kachim over here? It's not going on in the Beis HaMikdash. There's no mention anywhere of being makdish, this animal. What kedusha does it have? It's a chatas? It's an oil? What is it exactly? So l'chura, Rashi says, shina kasav la'akev. It seems like it's a little bit of a chiddush. I saw Reb Chaim Kanievsky wrote a sefer called Nachal Eson. So it's a sefer on Egla Rufa. And in Simen Hay, in a sefer Nachal Eson, he has a tremendous arichos. Yesh lachkar. Egla Arufa, is it kachim or is it not kachim? And Kedarkei Bakoidesh, he brings so many rayas, but just one ha'ara that he brings, and that's a very well-known gemara. The gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah, daf Chavtes Amidbeis, it actually came up in the daf not so long ago. The gemara over there is discussing Yayin Esech. And Yayin Esech, of course, is Aser B'shtiyah. It's also Aser B'ano. Says the gemara, Yayin Minolin. How do you know that Yayin Esech is Aser B'ano? Amar Rabbi Baravu Amakra. It's learned out from the following pasuk. Ashechelev Zivachema Yoychelu, Yishtu Yayin Nesicham. The pasuk compares its makish Yayin Nesech and karbonis that are brought lavoy dazar. Mazevach asabano. So just like if somebody brings a sacrifice to avoy dazar, it's asabano. Af Yayinami asabano. So wine is also going to be Yayin Nesech is also asabano. Vzevach kufim inol. How do you know that zevach is asabano? It's learned out from a different pasuk. Vayitz medula bal paar. Vayoychlu mizivche mesim. Ma mes asabano. Just like a mes is asabano. Af zevach nami asabano. Zevach is like a mace. Umeis kufa minolan. How do you know that a mace is asabana? As yisham sham meeglaruf. It's learned out from Xerish shav meeglaruf. Ksivach, it says vatama sham miriam. Fixiv hasam, and it says va'arfu sham is egla banach. Ma'alahalan asabana. Afkanami asabana. Says the Gemara, bottom line, how do you know that Yayin Nesach is asabana? Because Yayin Nesach is hookish to a zevach that's brought lavoy dezara. A zevach that's brought lavoy dezara is hookish to a mace, and a mace is learned out Xerish shava. Zerah Shava from Egla Arufa. Now we know one of the more complicated sugyas of Masechtas Zvachim was with Perik Ezeu Neshech was Dover Halamid Behekish. So ordinarily, in Kol HaTorah Kula, you can learn A from B, and then B from C, and C from D, right? This from a Hekish, that from a Gzeir Shavah, this from a Kavach Chaymer, this from a Binyan Av. You could have this long shalsheles of joy. It all works. It's fine. As long as everything stims, it's not a big deal. But in Kachem, it's not so simple. There's a rule, Dover HaLamid Behekish, and then there's a whole sugya where the Gemara gets involved. What about a Dover HaLamid B'Gzer Shav? Dover HaLamid B'Gzer Shav, is that Chayzer U'Malamid B'Hekish? And on one side on the Gemara, that's not something that works. If that's the case, how do you understand this Gemara by the Zara right here? If you're going to tell me that Egla Arufa is Kachim, then how could Egla Arufa teach me that just like it's asabahana, so to a mace is asabahana. Then a mace is going to teach me how to do a hekish. If a mace is asabahana, then zivche mace, quote unquote. Then if you bring a carbon to a vaydazar, it's asabahana, which is then going to teach me, oh, if a zevach la vaydazar is asabahana, then yayin nesach is also asabahana. You're going to trip up with that sugya neizel neshach. And Reb Chaim makes the cheshbon according to which we shine him, it's a problem. But the bottom line is, this is something that you find in a few places in Shas, where the Gemara learns halachas from Egla Arufa. Bishloim, if it's a chulin de geparsha, then I understand. But if it's a kachim de geparsha, then at first glance we're gonna have a little bit of an issue. That's one of Reb Chaim's rayas. Just one ha'ara I was thinking is that You know, the Ramban in Parshas Achrimos famously discusses the Sar LaAzazel. So the Gemara just mentioned the Sar LaAzazel. On Yom Kippur, there were two Seirim that was brought. Sar Echel Hashem, V'Sar Echel LaAzazel. And Ibn Ezra says that the Sar Echel Hashem was a regular carbon. What about the Sar Echel LaAzazel? So it says that Ibn Ezra, I can't tell you what it is. Now, if you're smart, you'll realize that it's not a regular carbon, because if it was a regular carbon, it would also be LaAzazel. Right? Sar Echel Hashem, and the other Sar, it doesn't go LaAzazel. It goes LaAzazel. Says that Ibn Ezra, he gives you ramazim, hints, and clues, 33, when you'll be 33 years old, he doesn't want to tell you what it is. But the Ramban went on, he says, Ani Aruch Lagal Soide, I'm going to tell you what it is. He says, the Sar LaAzazel wasn't a carbon, it wasn't a krovat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was a krovat to Azazel. One was Lashem, the other one was not Lashem, it was Azazel. He says, Azazel is Sari Shalesov, it's the Samach Mem, and being that it's Yom Kippur, and in Yom Kippur, the Samach Mem is Mekatrig, so that the Yidden shouldn't get Kapara. So what we do is we give him some Sheichat, right, with Esav, it always goes with Sheichat. This is in Ramban at the beginning of Parshas, Vayishlach Yaakov Mincha, Maisav, a similar banim, that with Esav, it shmirs with Sheichat. And that's what we're doing. We're being Meshachi on the Sari level. Sari Shalesov is getting Sheichat, we're giving him a carbon, that's the Sar Lazazel, it's like this, we should get Kapara. At the very end of this shtickle, says the Ramban, "Umepnei ze amru Rabbi Seino." He says, "With this, you could understand the oimek in Divrei Chazal, the eschu koisei." Say Chazal to teres kayanim, dvarim sheitzahar mekatrivim. What's a chayk? Chayk is the mitzvah that the yitzahar drives us crazy. Why? Levisha shatnes upara aduma v'sar mishdalech. They come after us. The umay sa'olam do, and the yitzahar says, "Really, you keep mitzvahs? What are you doing? You doing shatnes? Does that make sense to you? You're bringing a para aduma? Does that make sense? The sar mishdalech. You bring the sar mishdalech." Says the Ramban, "V'loy matzu bekarbanis tshuva l'umay sa'olam alein." Why don't they bring? They have a problem with the para aduma and the sar mishdalech. What about a regular carbon? How come they have no issue with a regular carbon? He says, "No. V'loy matzu bekarbanis tshuva l'umay sa'olam." Okay, hey, Malish. But a regular carbon, they understand. Regular carbon is a carbon. They're only coming after us with the Sar Mishdalech. Why? Because it looks like Avodah Zarah. We look like we're pagans. What are we doing? We're going to a mountain. This is not in the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't even have to be a Kayan, the person that threw the Sar down the mountain. And we're bringing a Hakrava. It looks like we're doing what they're doing. And as a result, that's something that they attack us for. V'chein b'par aduma. And the same is true with the par aduma. Mepnei she'inasis michutz l'machana. V'inyon u'doim l'in yisar mishtalech. L'haver ruach tuma, etc. Either way, that's the yisoid, says the Ramban, of why this is true. Why they come after us. Not for all karbanos. They understand karbanos. They get it. It's a temple. It's a house of worship. But the par aduma and the sar mishtalech, that's not something that makes sense to them. And as a result, that's what they're minded. So it bothered me. Why didn't the Teres Kayanim also mention Egla Rufa? If you're going to sit down now and you're going to write down karbonos, quote unquote, that were brought outside of the Makom HaMikdash. So you're going to get the Par Aduma. That's true. It was brought on Har HaZeisim. It was on Har HaMishcha. You're going to have the Sar that was brought in the mountain in the Midbar. You have the Egla Rufa. The Egla Rufa was also, you're bringing an animal, you're doing a Shechita, there's this whole process, Kapra Lamcha Yisrael. How come the Egla Rufa wasn't brought? Maybe it's a Raya that the Egla Rufa wasn't Kachem. If it was Kachem, then it's a Kasha. I don't understand. You're bringing a carbon out. See, the Sar Mishtalech was a carbon Chatos. The Sar Mishtalech was a carbon. You had two Seirim. They were two Chatois. They didn't even make a girl to decide which one was going to be Lashem and which one was going to be Lazazel. But they were certainly both carbonos, right? The Parah Aduma also. There's a whole discussion in the Gemara. Kachim Ben Agabayis, Kachim Esbeah, Chatas Kayu Rachmanu throughout Shas. The Parah Aduma Shaloy Lashma is possible because the Chatas, right? Chatas Kayu Rachmanu. But the Egla Aru wasn't Kav. If it wasn't Kachim, it's Gishmak. Why the Teres Kayanim doesn't mention this? It could be this Ramban, this Diuk in the Ramban. The Ramban brings this Teres Kayanim that says the Umay Sa'olam Amashivan Aleim Dafke Parah Aduma and Sar Mishdalech L'chayra. You would think that the Egla Arufa belongs on this list. Why not? Maybe it's because it's like the crowd was. What about this Rashi? You have a Mufurish Rashi. Right? Rashi says Shina Kosev Lakiv. Doesn't Shina Kosev Lakiv sound like it's Kachim? But the Teretz is Pashut says Hagoyin Reb Chaim Kanievsky. He says the Teretz is because the Gemara really had a Kal V'Chaymer. There was a Kal V'Chaymer over here that said that you should learn out that Shchita should work for the Egla Arufa. I mean, Shchita always works. So you would think by the Egla Arufa, if you could do Arifa, certainly Shchita. So to answer the Kal V'Chaymer, the Torah went ahead and told me Arifa a second time, so that you shouldn't learn from Kal V'Chaymer. Meaning, had you not had a Kal V'Chaymer, for Arifa one time would have been enough to teach me that Arifa is Ma'akiv, because it's Taka, not a Kachim de Gebarsha. And if the Egla Arufa is not Kachim, then I don't need a Shina HaKasav La'akiv. The only reason we need a Shina HaKasav La'akiv is because otherwise you'd have the Kal V'Chaymer. We simply needed to address the Kal V'Chaymer. That's the first Torah. The second Torah is, so we said you can't do Shechita
with the Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa had to be done dafka by Rifa, but you were not able to do Shchita. Stating that, there's a very interesting Tosfos, and this Tosfos is in Masechtas Yuma, Daf Samach Dalet Amud Aleph. It's also later in Masechtas Chulin, Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph. Just a little bit of a background. The context is Yuma Samach Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara is discussing that there's a psul of Mechusar Zman when it comes to the Sarah Meshtalech. So yesterday we spoke about Mechusar Zman, that a carbon has to be at least 8 days old. It's Miyei Mashmini Vahala, Yeiratza. It has to experience one Shabbos, just like a child has to experience a Shabbos before it has Bris Milah. Taz says that's the Makar to the Shalom Zachar. So too, there's an idea that a carbon, it has to greet the Matruna before it's able to come Lifnei HaMelech as a carbon. So there's a concept of Miyei Mashmini Vahala Yeiratza. And the Gemara says that this halacha, Miyei Mashmini Vahala Yeiratza, is true even for the Sarah Meshtalech. Sarah Meshtalech was a carbon. And being that it was on some level treated like a carbon, so there's a concept of Mechusar Zman. Says the Gemara, not only is there a concept of Mechusar Zman as it relates to Sar HaMishtaleach, there's also a concept of Oisoi Ve'espinoi Loisishchatu B'yoy Mechat. So we know there's a halacha that you're not allowed to shech a mother and its son on the same day. Oisoi Ve'espinoi Loisishchatu B'yoy Mechat. Rava in Yuma Daf Samech Dalet Amud Aleph says that the same is going to be true for a Sar HaMishtaleach as well. So we're coming in really in the middle of a sugya, so it's just one excerpt. Rava Amar, that what would be if somebody had a chayla b'teich beisai, since Yom Kippur, not a shechta Yom Kippur. So technically this conversation should be moot, but no. There was a chayla she'esh b'isakana, and the doctors and the rabbis all said, no, we have no choice, we have to shecht an animal on Yom Kippur for this chayla she'esh b'isakana. Now, it turns out that this animal, how this happened, but this animal's son was the Sar HaMishtaleach. The Sar HaMishtaleach. So what do you do now? The Zalach of Oisei Vesbenoi, Loisishchatu B'yoy Mechat, says, Rav, it's a problem. It's a problem. You cannot bring the, you're going to have another Sar now. You can't use it. Because it's Zalach, you're not letting a shech. You just shechted the mother. You can't shech the mother and the son on the same day. Freak the Gemara, the obvious question. Why is it a problem? The Torah says, this is not shechita. Ami b'mar Rava says the Gemara. You ready? It's true. It's not shechita. What you're going to do is you're going to push it down the mountain. But pushing the Sar HaMishtaleach down the mountain is the equivalent thereof of shechita. And if it says in the Torah, it doesn't mean shechita dafka. It means whatever you're supposed to do with this animal. And if what you're supposed to do with this animal is d'chiyasei l'tzuk, then d'chiyasei l'tzuk suwi shechitasei. And it's going to be included in the loisasei of oisei v'esbenoi leisishcha tu b'tei emech. What came to mind was the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Yedzayin Amanav, the Gemara that we learned last week, where the Gemara said that according to Rabbi Yekiva, there was no shechitas Chulin when the Yidden went in the Midbar. Nechira was okay. It says, Atzoyin v'habokar yishachet and parashas ba'al loitzchel. Right, Moshe says, you're going to bring slav? Who's going to shecht all these animals? Frank the Gemara, according to Rabbi Akiva, we don't shecht chulin anyways. So says the Gemara, no, that Nechira before Matan Torah was shechita. Shechita doesn't mean shechita the way we know it. That's only shechita because that's the only way you're allowed to do it. But if there was another method, then that would also be okay. Not only would it be okay, but it would be inclusive in the term, in the technical legal definition of what shechita is. It says the Gemara, "Dichiyasoi l'tzuk zui shechitasei," and when it says "Oisai vesbenoi leisishchutu b'dei mechad," you're able to do it with shechita as well. Zok Tosfos, that if that's true as it relates to dichiyasoi l'tzuk, I think the same is going to be true with regards to Egla Rufa as well. Meaning, after the Ziknei Ho'ir went and they beheaded the eagle in the Egla Rufa process, I think, says Tosfos, Arifasa Zuhi Shchitasa. And if there's Alach of Oisai Vespinoi as it relates to the Sar HaMishtaleach, you can have Alach of Oisai Vespinoi as it relates to the Egla Rufa as well. And says Tosfos, I think I have a raya. I have a raya from the Gemara Masecht Zvachim Daf Ayin Amud Beis in Perek Chatas Oif. The Gemara over there says that after the Ziknei Yair did the Egla Rufa, so even though the Egel is Asabana, etc., but it's not Tome. There's no Tumas Nevela. And the Lashon HaGemara is Arifasa Mitaheres Midei Nevela. That the Arifa of the Egla Rufa is Mitaher, this Egel, from Egla Rufa. Why is it Mitaher from Egla Rufa? Shchita is Mitaher from Tumas Nevela. Shchita is Mitaher from Nevela. A Nevela is Tome. In addition for Nevel being also b'achila, right, we know this, it's also metame b'mago b'masa. If something is shchut, it's not metame b'mago b'masa. L'chayra, shchita has an ability to be mitzi something from Tumas Nevel. But Arifa, why should Arifa be metaheres midei Nevel? Says Tosfos, you know what the pshat is? I think the teretz is this Gemara in Yuma daf samech talar menahalaf. That the Gemara says, d'chiyasay l'tzuk tzui shchitasay, Arifasa, Arifasa zui shchitasa. And if shchita is metaher midei Nevel, then l'chayra, Arifa is going to be metar midei nevela as well. And if that's the case, says Tosfos, who I didn't, you're going to have an oisay v'espanoi leisishcha tu b'yay mechad. So just two ha'aras. The first ha'ara is that we spoke out of Teres Chaim in the beginning of the week, where the Teres Chaim said that the reason shchita is metaheres midei nevela has nothing to do with the shchita per se. But the point is because shchita is a mitzvah. I mean that shchita is a mitzvah, so when a yid does a mitzvah, the koichay satuma, the sitra achra, the malach hamuvas, they all run away. They're by reyach min akedusha. They don't want to have anything to do with it. So if an animal dies, it dies al yedei the malach hamuvas. Like the Gemara says, a perikah machkid malach hamuvas mali hacha mali hasa. Being that the malach hamuvas is tuma, that brings tumas nevela. That's why when a person dies, there's tumas meis. It all comes mikayach the malach hamuvas. But if you do shchita, being that shchita is a mitzvah, so the mitzvah shchita causes the malach hamuvas to run away, and that's why there's no tumas nevela. If that's the case, I don't think you have a raya from the Gemara in Zvachim daf ayin amid beis. From the fact that the Gemara says arifa mitaheres midei nevela, that arifasa zui shchitasa. Maybe arifasa is not shchita. Meaning, who said arifa shchita? Why is there no tumas nevela? Because even if arifa is not shchita, arifa is a mitzvah, the Torah says this is what you're supposed, no less a mitzvah than shchita schulin, right? So if shchita schulin is mataris midei nevela, why? Simply because of the kedusha of the act of shchita schulin. The yid is following yoyri yoyri katzmicha, right? He's not just going ahead and living his life b'shfiris libi eilech. No, he understands before you meet a chicken, you have to follow a process. He's being a halig yid, and as a result, the koich hatumah can't deal with this. He runs away. There's no malach hamavas. No malach. There's no tumas nevela. So why should arifa be any different? Tosfos is saying that if there's no tumas nevela by the egla rufa, oh, that's a raya. That just like the Gemara says, dchiyasay letzuk zui shchitasay, that arifasa zui shchitasay as well. Maybe there's no raya. Maybe arifa is not shchita. So as it relates to oisay ves benoy loisishchatu b'yoy mechad, maybe you're not going to have that halacha. With regards to Arifa mitaris midei nevela, that's because why should Arifa be any worse than Shchita? Why is Shchita mitaris midei nevela? If it was a din that Shchita is mitaris midei nevela, then it's geshmak. Then you have a raya from a Gemara in Zvachim that Arifa must be Shchita. And if it's Shchita with regards to there being no tumas nevela, let it be Shchita regarding Oseh Vezmenay, like Sishcha to be Yemecha. But Oite Teres Chaim, the reason Shchita is mitaris midei nevela, it's not because of the ritual process of Shchita. It's simply because Shchita is a mitzvah. If shchita is a mitzvah, then why should arifa be any different? L'chura, arifa is not any less a mitzvah. That's the first aura. The second aura is the Minchas Chinuch's famous kasha. And the Minchas Chinuch is in the end of mitzvah nun beis, and his kasha is based on a gemara, Masechtes Bava Kama, daf mem aleph amir aleph, huva berashi ala teira, in parashas mishpatim. The pasuk over there says, v'chiyigach shor es ish. Oh yes, Yishav Ameis. Feels like a long time ago. Sokol Yisokel Hashar. V'lo Yeyachel Es Besaroi. Ubal Hashar Naki. So Ki Yigach Shar Ish. Shar killed a person. So immediately, Sokol Yisokel Hashar. Says the Torah, we're at the flesh. Tachlis, could we eat the meat? V'lo Yeyachel Es Besaroi. You're not allowed to eat the meat. Freik the Gemara. Mi Mashmet Shinem HaSokol Yisokel Hashar. Eni Yedei Shenevele. V'nevele Asur Ba'achilo. Ma Tamu Loi Ma'ayet Lo Yeyachel Es Besaroi. Why does the Torah have to say Lo Yeyachel Es Besaroi? Says the Gemara, Magad Lucha HaKosev. You know it's coming to teach me. Shem Shachtoi La'achar Shenigmar Dinoi. Also, it's coming to teach me an unbelievable Chiddush. A Chiddush that we all know from learning Bava Kama. And that is that a Shor HaNiskel is also Ba'achilo, it's also Ba'ano. Meaning, even if you would shech the Shor HaNiskel, once it's Nigmar Dinoi, if you shechte with a chalif and with the shia and adrasa and the chalif, do everything per, it doesn't matter. Still also b'achila. For lo yachal esbesari, it's not referring to after the skila. After the skila, it's an avela. It didn't have shechita. What it means is before, freite michas chinach, a bamba kasha. And he concludes this kasha as v'tzorich iin rochav. So you see, tzorich in gadol, tzorich in katan, v'tzorich iin reish chesves. But either way, it says them in Minchas Chinuch, I never understood this Gemara. You have a Gemara in Yuma, Da'af Samach Talar Amar Aleph, where the Gemara says, Dichi yasoy litzuk zuhi shchitasoy. That taking the sar la'azazel and pushing it down the mountain is the equivalent of shchita, even though it's not shchita, but it doesn't matter. Zuhi shchitasoy. It's a meisa shchita. There's no tumas nevela. There's if it wasn't kachem, it'd be mutter b'achila maybe. You have the halach of oisoy v'espanoy, like sishchatu b'yoynechad. The entire hilcha shchita applies. There was a meisah shchita done. D'chiyosei l'tzuk, zui shchitasei. The same is true, says Tosis, regarding the egla rufa. Says Tosis, if d'chiyosei l'tzuk, zui shchitasei, arifasa zui shchitasei. And Tosis, by the way, have a raya from a gemara in Zvach, and Dafayim. We see that arifa is mataris, we didn't avail. So you see that arifasa zui shchitasei as well. What's the tzadashava between d'chiyosei l'tzuk and arifasa? You're doing what the Torah told you to do. What's shchita? Shchita is the Torah says kill it this way. Okay, here the Torah said kill it al yidei tchiyah letzuk. Here the Torah said kill it al yidei arifa. And as long as you do what the Torah says you're supposed to do, that's the technical definition of what shchita doesn't mean. Shchita's right some ma. It's not the point. The point is it's following what the Torah said. And if it's following what the Torah said, tchiyasa letzuk zui shchitasa, arifa zui shchitasa. If that's the case, freitim mechaschinuch, there would have been a real havam, you know, to think that if it says suckle you suckle hashar, maybe you're allowed to eat the meat. Because why don't you say skilasa zui shchitasa? What's the difference between the skila, where the Torah says stone this shar, versus where the Torah says tchiyasa letzok, or the Torah says va'arfu esayit? In all cases, you're doing what the Torah told you to do. And if you're following the mitzvah Hashem, and that's the definition of shchita, so l'chayr vas freik the gemara, debi mashmash in amas sokel yisokel ashar, eni yadeh shen aveli, unaveil asur b'achila, zokta mechachina, no! Eni yadeh, yeah, eni yadeh, I taka don't know that it's asur b'achila. What do you mean? You didn't do shchita. I know I didn't do shchita, but I did what the Torah told me to do. I did skila, and the Torah said sokel yisokel ashar. And as long as I do what the Torah says, I know from Yuma Samach Dalet and Toysus over there, and Toysus and Chulun Daf Bebez, who has arrived from Zvach and Daf, and this is Kant Shas. I know that as long as I do what the Torah tells me to do, that is the legal, technical definition of Shechita. So if that's the case, L'chayra Vaz Zok De Gemara, that once you do Skila with a Shara Niskel, it's Pshita that it's an Avela. And I don't even need a Pasuk to tell me V'lo Yachalas Psarei. So much so that the Gemara darshens the words V'lo Yachalas Psarei and teaches me Halacha Revacha B'Yisrael, that a Shara Niskel is Asa B'Achila, Asa B'Anah, even if you do Shechita with it before the skila, l'chayra, maybe the reason the Torah had to say v'lo yachal es besaray is l'hoitzi miliban, that you shouldn't think that tchiyasa l'tzuk zui shchitasa, arifasa zui shchitasa, maybe skilasa zui shchitasa as well. Either way, a festa kasha l'michas chinuch v'ru'uyin hadvarim l'misha amram.